You see why not a lot of people read Numbers? Can get a little long at times, right? But we'll get to that. The wilderness for us often feels like a very rootless, isolated place. It's somewhere between where we were and where we will be. For the Israelites, it was this in-between time of when they had spent 400 years rooted and established in Egypt, and when they would be one day in the Promised Land, which was just that, it was promised, not something that they had experienced as of yet. It was this in-between time. And so it is with the church in our culture. We're between a culture that we have grown used to, a story that we've grown used to, that said the church is at the center of town. The church is the heart of America. And now it feels more like the church is like the pancreas of America. Or worse, the appendix, something that's just expendable because it really doesn't do much anyway. But it is so important for us to know that when God takes us into a time of wilderness, when he cuts us out of one story, maybe the story that we're really familiar with and comfortable in, he doesn't leave us rootless. He roots us in another story and in a new experience of God's presence. And so in the wilderness, as we read in Numbers 9, we must be story and presence people. We are people dependent, rooted in God's story, and led by God's presence. In Numbers 9, the first 14 verses or so that Chuck read were about participating in that story. God wants the Israelites... let's skip through that one. I don't know what that one's doing up there. Yeah, let's skip through that one, too. All right. One more time. I didn't get the script printed for Kevin this morning. But anyway, in the wilderness, God wants to make sure the people know their story. He's commanding them to celebrate this Passover feast once a year. And if you've ever been a part, have any of you ever been a part of like a Seder meal? Some of you? It's something we should do at some point. Again, maybe it's been done in the past here, but the Seder meal, the Passover feast, is the telling of the story. This is what God has done for you. This is who you are as a people. As the Israelites are wandering through the wilderness, God wants them to know that this wilderness isn't just this random thing. It's part of a story. The story of Abraham and the story of the plagues and the Passover and the parting of the Red Sea. It's part of the story of the Promised Land and being God's holy people. And so God tells them year after year, remember your story. Remember who you are. And that's what this sermon series is about, actually. So that we know that our wilderness experience, it's part of the story. It's not the whole story. It's not random. It's part of the story. An important part. Our culture may be increasingly ignorant of the Bible and the story of Jesus, but we must not be. We have to be people, if we're going to make it through this wilderness, who are rooted in God's story. Our story is the story of Adam and Eve, created by God, but who turned away from him. Our story is the story of Abraham, called to trust and follow God, to receive God's blessing and to bless others. Ours is the story of the Exodus, of God delivering us out of the human oppressors that we might experience and out of the oppression of sin. Ours is the story of the Israelites. Great triumphs, great failures. Great faithfulness, great rebellion. Times of impatience and times of hope. That's our story. Our story is the story of the exile, being scattered amongst all the people of the world and told to seek the good of those people, to bless them as we wait for God to bring us back home. Ours is the story of John the Baptist, being called into the wilderness to be baptized and to turn back to God and be cleansed. Ours is the story of the incarnation of Christmas, of God who moved into the neighborhood to love us and to be with us. Ours is the story of Jesus' life, proclaiming words of hope, bringing healing to people who were in desperate need, inviting the world into the kingdom of God. Ours is the story of the cross, where we need to receive God's mercy and forgiveness. And we see that it is through sacrifice and through giving of ourselves that healing and hope are brought to the world. Ours is the story of the empty tomb and Easter, a story where death and sin don't have the last say, but life and love emerge victorious. Our story is the story of the church. People who were strangers to God and to one another, people who were sinners who have been forgiven and who have been welcomed back into the family of God and who are now called to go to the ends of the earth following Jesus to bring that hope and healing and to invite the world into God's kingdom. And ours is the story of the promised land, of new creation, of a God who will make all things right, and a God who will restore us as the Adam and Eve were supposed to be, reigning over this world, cultivating it, caring for it, loving each other and loving God in it. To survive this wilderness that we're in, we have to know our story. It informs how we live. The story tells us who we are, and the story gives us roots in a culture that is increasingly rootless and forgetful. We need to be baptized in the story. We need to eat it and drink it. We need to be immersed in the story of God. The wilderness is part of our story, but it's not the whole story. In the story, we know that the wilderness is a place of encountering God, of being restored and refined. The wilderness is a time of preparation. It's a time of transformation. That's how the story goes. That's where we are. But we also need to be a people of presence, people who are led by God's presence. Because the story gives us the patterns. It helps us to know what to look for. It helps us to know that we should be looking at the pillar of cloud and fire, for instance. But the story doesn't tell us when and where and how that pillar of fire and cloud move, and when they're going to do something new, and when they're going to stay. Only with God's presence can we make it through the wilderness. And that is what was told to us so mind-numbingly in Numbers 9. I mean, how can the writer of Numbers make it any clearer? When God went, the people went. When God stayed, the people stayed. When God stayed for 2 days, they stayed. When God stayed for 2 weeks, they stayed. When God went, days at a time, they went. Right? It is making the point again and again that as the people wandered through the wilderness, they had to be intimately connected to the presence of God. Only going and staying where and when and how the presence of God went and when it stayed. In the wilderness, the church sometimes has a hard time with this because in the wilderness we get a little anxious. People aren't responding to our message. Our churches are shrinking. We need money. We need all these other things. It's not the way it was. And we're specifically tempted to two dangers. One is the danger of novelty. Whatever is new and cool and relevant, whatever the culture tells us we should do. We just go. And when we do that, we're ignoring the deep wisdom of our story and the deep wisdom of the church. We start charging ahead on our own new and cool and relevant ideas and efforts, and the culture wins, and we look back, and the Spirit of God isn't with us because the Spirit of God wasn't moving. Or we face the danger of sentimentality. We do whatever is comfortable and familiar. And in that danger, we totally ignore the culture that we're called to reach. Just because God worked in a certain area once, certain way once, that doesn't mean that's what God is doing now. And so sometimes we can get stuck in our traditions and wanting things to be the way they were when God has already moved on. And again, we find ourselves on our own. These are the dangers we face in the wilderness and why it's so desperately important that we're connected with our story and that we're sensitive to God's presence. We are not called to be on the cutting edge. We're not called to rest in our traditions. We're called to be in the presence of God and to live out this story. And so here's the wilderness practice for this week. Listening prayer. Listening prayer. Here's how I encourage you to do it. You don't have to do it this way. This is just guidance for you. Try to start out by reading Psalm 91. It's a psalm about being in God's presence and our need for that. Read Psalm 91 slowly. And there are a bunch of fears that are listed. I'll flip there really quickly. A bunch of fears that are listed that the psalmist wants God's protection from. He talks about snares and pestilence and some words that I'm not even familiar with, but maybe your translation will give you a little more guidance on it. But all kinds of different things that we might fear in the wilderness. And as you read it, try and insert your own fears in there. What causes you anxiety? What are you afraid of? And read those into Psalm 91. And once you finish, sit in silence for 10 minutes. For some of you, that might feel like 10 days. Try to listen. When your mind starts drifting to other things, ways you can solve your problems or things you have to do or whatever, try to silence that. But also don't spend the whole 10 minutes battling with yourself, okay? Just try to listen. Listen to what God might be saying to you. And I use the word saying, but it's not always saying. Sometimes it's just something that God wants to impress upon your heart. A feeling, a sense, something that you remember. Give God a chance to do that. You might not hear anything or feel anything. And that's okay. We can't guarantee when God shows up and speaks. The idea of the listening prayer is to train ourselves to listen. And to be aware, to be listening when God does choose to speak. And when God does choose to guide us. Most of us are pretty terrible listeners. Try to listen. This is going to be hard. That's why we're practicing it. Because it's hard. But it's something that we need to do. We need to be good listeners. We need to hear the story. And we need to be sensitive to the God's presence as we wander through the wilderness. We need to be story and presence people. Let's pray. Gracious and holy God, tell us our story. Allow us to sense your presence. Help us to live out your story and to follow your presence. Amen.